Jordan. Okay, let's go ahead and start our council meeting. It is Tuesday, June 19th, 2018. It is 7:00 PM and we are meeting in the Cedar Hills Community Center. We are going to start our meeting with a pledge led by Councilmember Bailey and Chief Counselor and invitation given by Councilmember Miller.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in gratitude for this great city and this great land which we live in. For those in our community and their contributions, their hard work, their service, and kindness of yours. We give thanks for those who dedicate their efforts to bettering this city and helping it go the direction that benefits us and our values. We ask that thou bless this meeting today, that we will be productive, that we will be guided towards the direction that is best for the city, make the decisions according to that. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. We move on to item number two, which is approval of the meeting's agenda. If someone wants to make a motion. The agenda. All right. The motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth, seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And we will move to the public comment portion of our meeting.
My name is Ken Cromar, 987 North Meadow Drive, Cedar Hills, former council from 94 to the year 2000. And I'm here tonight to try to share some information that the council generally may not have. Thursday there was a hearing at the State Records Committee. You need to know that we tried numerous times through Joel Wright, through the State Records Ombudsman, it was very kind of to see meetings. And there was at least three or four attempts. And we sit down and just talk through some kind of voice that's on the State Records Committee, waste the city's funds and legal fees and whatnot. The hearing denied our request for the city to be compelled to provide records that were requested that had not been provided and sign an updated document that said that they have actually now given us all the records, because they've given us a document previously that said they had given us all the records, but they gave us new documents, and therefore it was not a current and truthful statement when it was given. So we need to move. Everything was, their finding was based. She said she'd given us all the records, and yet we don't have those records. So a letter was sent that I want to read into the record. I'll hand it off to this Friday afternoon, the day after. It says, please find a grammar request rule, which is a new one, but it's a repeat of the previous one that she did not fulfill completely. Would you please send a receipt saying you received it, and I assume you'll immediately fulfill it, since you did not originally do so previously. Please provide an explanation for your oversight. Yesterday, you testified before the State Records Committee swearing that you provided me and Cedar Hill citizens for responsible government of the records. But when asked when you provided them, viewed my files and find no records or evidence, you provided the records. The committee said that their denial was based on your sworn testimony. Will you please forward them again in quotes before the end of the day? 2 6 pages from this. There's a double set of papers here at the back of this book that is 1 through 6 of 258, 1 through 6 of 435. I've never seen them. And don't even have clerics in that binder. Okay, what are those pages exactly, please? Where did they come from? Also, may I ask if you have any regrets or questions in your mind regarding the accuracy of your testimony yesterday at the state records committee hearing provided under.
Your 3 minutes is up. If you want to hand that to the city recorder, so you can get to add it to the public record, that would be great.
There's just a sentence left, and so I just will add one thing. This is a book that's been given to every councilman that I know of. Ben's had it. Help you understand it both officers and some of the books in the future. Thank you for your time.
We're going to move on to the final approval for the Royal Subdivision located at approximately 9730 North Kang Road in the R1 15,000 residential zone. Is there anyone here who wanted to make public comment during that hearing? Okay, well, we're going to close out public hearing and move on to item number 5. Which is a public hearing related to amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5-26, related specifically to school signs in the public facility, or the PM public facility zone. Is there anyone here who wanted to make a comment during that public hearing? Okay, we'll close that hearing and move on to item number 6. It's a public hearing regarding amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 3, regarding the creation of this zone. Is there anyone here that wanted to speak during that public hearing?
Yes.
All right, come on up and teach you.
Hi, my name is Abigail Hawkins, and I live at 4458 West and 9980 North in Cedar Hills. I've lived here for 4 years almost, and I feel like we made a compact when we bought our property and when we chose to move here to Cedar Hills that we knew what we were getting. And so rezoning means we don't get what we initially thought we were getting. I'm concerned about the high density housing and the fact that, just the high density housing and that we don't have the infrastructure in place to take on that many more units and that many more people. I think it also waters down your integrity of as future people move in to Cedar Hills, because if we can constantly be changing the zoning to accommodate for. And so again, higher density housing and that changes what we thought, because the State Office of Education likes to hide. It's hard to find things, but in their data, I found that we're not prepared for additional housing here at the city on this level or the next amendments level. I looked at student median class size in terms of our student to teacher class sizes and ratios that Box Elder District. And so taking on more people when we don't have any of the infrastructure in place doesn't make sense. We don't even have any. And when I moved here to this beautiful city, and I appreciate your service, all of you.
Is there anyone else who is here to speak regarding that item? Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I want to thank the staff for working so hard over the quite frequently changed the city and every city there. And I would also note, more importantly, that the residential zone are less of an issue with the neighborhood than any commercial zone could possibly be, which is what it was zoned now. So the residential zone is less intense and more in keeping with the character of the neighborhood. Finally, I would note that state law specifically prohibits consideration of the impact of schools on rezoning of schools. We trust this will be a good neighbor development, and it fits in, and we have worked with staff to ensure that there is absolutely adequate infrastructure to service this project, and we thank you for all your hard work over the last several months.
Thank you. Anyone else want to make a comment on the hearing? All right, we will close that public hearing and move on to item number 7. Which is amendments to the official zoning map to reflect these changes. Is there anyone here to speak during that public comment or that public hearing?
Yes. Hi, again, my name is Abigail Hawkins. I live at 4458 West, 9980 North, Cedar Hills. Again, I've lived here for 4 years almost, and which one's the one that's like the
The apartment complex?
Yes.
That is not being approved, that is not happening.
That's not happening.
No.
That's no longer being proposed.
I would be standing there too if that's what was on the table tonight, so.
So that might be off the table permanently, temporarily?
Yes, permanently.
This is what killed that.
This is a compromise that we came to. Then we will close that item and move to our kind of subdivision located at approximately 4600 West and Cedar Coast Drive. Then we will close out and move to item number 9, which is a public hearing regarding amendments to the City Code Title 10, Chapter 5-32, related to accessory apartments. Is there anyone here to make comment for that public hearing? Absolutely. Just start with your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Mike Penn, 9970 Colbert Drive. I've read a little bit about what the code is. I wasn't able to find part of the amendment, so I just wanted to find out part of the amendments.
Sure, so we'll be actually covering that during the council meeting portion that we can
come
to you.
Perfect, thank you.
Absolutely. Anybody else?
I have a question.
Absolutely.
Is there a limit on the number of families that could cohabit in an accessory unit?
Yes, and we'll talk about that during that item tonight.
Okay.
Anyone else for a public hearing for that item? All right, we'll move to our final public hearing, item number 10, which is a public hearing on the fiscal year 2019 budget for July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. Is there anyone here to make comment during that public hearing? All right, we made it through our public hearings. We'll move on to the consent agenda, which includes adopting the minutes from the May 15th, 2018 work session and city council meeting and the May 30th, 2018 special city council meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion we approve the consent agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposed. Unanimously approved. We'll move on to item number 12, city reports and business. And we'll start with Mr. Goodwin.
Yeah, a couple of items. We have had, in our recreation notes, our coding camps finished up this week, and we did get a great turnout. Lego camps are taking place right now. Golf clinics are taking place right now. Lacrosse starts this week, and we've been trying to get a big push for lacrosse participants this last year. We've seen our numbers decline over the year, and we've really, following the season, we're going to really evaluate the likelihood of continuing with the lacrosse program. And bowling is open right now, so if you're interested in any of those programs, please sign up. We did do our pickleball tournament this year during the Family Festival, and it was a huge success. We had over 100 participants, and we're excited to see the development of Deerfield Park incorporate some of the pickleball courts. As a staff, we've received three responses to the request for proposals for public safety. That's for police and fire services in Cedar Hills, and we're in the process of evaluating each proposal. And we anticipate that those options will be presented to the City Council in the next meeting on July 17th. We will be meeting with each entity prior to that. I believe Mayor Reese sent out some emails regarding that, trying to get in place some of those meetings. We are in the middle of our irrigation season. It's in full swing. And we would like to request that residents look for ways to reduce watering, as we're seeing an inordinate amount of water go through our system this year. There are many resources online, including the city's website, where people can get tips on how to water and what to water and when to water, and what those best practices are. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Anderson.
So, my only thing, I attended the ULCT meeting yesterday online, and so concerned about the moderate income housing requirements enforced from the city and all the cities in Utah. So I'm happy to see that the city is doing something about having a plan for a moderate income housing. So,
thank you.
The beautification committee is meeting again this Thursday in May. I think since our last council meeting, we did have the service project. City Service Day, and we had a good showing. We actually broke out to four different locations, four or five, and had various projects. It seemed like we had a good turnout, and it was a good day to help out the city and make Cedar Hills more beautiful.
Thank you. As far as my report, you received my email. I emailed it last week. Just a couple of things. the social media and technology presentation for youth and parents. I got some different, I wasn't quite sure what direction the council wanted to take. So that's something that we can continue to talk about if we want to post that. I believe Cedar Ridge might be doing one this fall with Mr. Karchner, is that correct? So if we want to just let schools handle it, if we want to host a meeting, I know that those meetings are generally very well attended, and we're happy to have people who have they would like to attend. So just give me some feedback if you can by the end of the week on whether or not you want to move forward with that. I also need some direction on through my either today or via email on the Utah Lake Commission and whether or not you're interested in the city joining that board. And then, as Mr. Rubin mentioned during our work session, Maggie is working on developing our moderate income housing plan for us right now, and we will be meeting with Andrew Jackson in July, I think, when everyone is back from vacation, to find out more of what Mag can help and does help cities with, so that way we can utilize that as a resource for anything happening. That's it for me. Councilmember Rubin. Councilmember Ellsworth.
The Tampa Festival happened this 2 weeks ago, and all the feedback has been very positive. It was a very successful event. Thanks for everybody for their service and volunteering. That's hopefully we can take some of the feedback and make it even better next year.
Thank you. All right, so moving on to our scheduled items. The first one is item number 14, a review action on an ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 5-26, related specifically to school signs in the PF or facility zone. And Mr. Goodwin is presenting. Principal DeMille, did you also want an opportunity to speak tonight on this item?
I will let Chandler speak and then we'll get done if I want to get
there. If I said that, I balance correctly. Yes, this was a planning commission on May 22nd. They made a recommendation for the following code that would allow for digital marquee signs to be used in public facility zone by schools only right now, so the code states. If you, like I said in the work session, if you had the opportunity to go drive by the Cedar Ridge marquee and try to make sense of it, it says something like Reg, Kid, Now, something. And that's using all of the space available for it. If you go up, if you walk up closely, you can see that the, I don't know what the official word is, but the places where you slide the letters on, they've been cracked, it looks like they've aged, time has not been friendly to them. I think the bandits and the drum box as well, it looks like. So it is time for Cedar Ridge to get a new marquee. And in keeping up with many of the other schools, I think it would be appropriate to have a digital marquee there that allows parents to know what's going on in all the various grades in the community. So what the code does is it does allow for them to install a digital marquee sign. And the Planning Commission, when we met last month, we met the previous 2 months to discuss this, their big concerns were what were the effects that a digital marquee sign would have on the surrounding area. And any noise and your real concern is the light. And with this sign where it faces east-west, it's really not shining in any backyard. So that's less concerning. We did talk about the length of the illumination for messages, that you couldn't have animation, nothing to distract drivers, that it would have to be off at a certain point at night. And that we did talk about how it would be available for public service announcements as well. And in the work session, there was a question about what that meant. And there was a response that the district does have a policy on what the schools can and cannot put on their marquees. Is that correct? Do you know any people would you like to speak further to that point?
They're just basic public service announcements that we can put there.
Okay. I'm assuming it's things like elections, vote today, things of that nature. It's probably a very tight window to meet their requirements. But with that being said, what questions can I entertain from the council right there?
So it's anticipated to just be lettering with static for 8 seconds or whatever. Switches to different methods.
Yeah, I believe it can scroll to scroll. But
it's not flashing.
It's not flashing, but we're trying to illuminate because it needs many of the distractions. And when it flashes, I think that's when you start noticing the illumination in the surrounding area.
I had a question in work session about your other marquee on the front of the school, the littler one, if there are plans to change that. Don't you have one? I know Deerfield has a little marquee on the front.
Yeah, we don't have that. We just have that large one.
So like I said, in work session as well, those two pillars, I believe that the marquee would fit in between where the current site sits, that those pillars would plug through and just require just take the place of the current marquee, they would raising it and moving it to a new location. And then this would also, keep in mind, this would also open up the opportunity for Deerfield Elementary to do the same thing.
Do you want to add?
Please, no.
Another reason why we are asking for the digital sign is for our custodian not to have to go out in the snow and in other weather conditions and have to put the lettering. And then there's also several times when probably teenagers, I'm guessing, pull their truck up and change the lettering and change the sign, what the sign says. So this would allow for us to not have to worry about vandalism and things changing that way. And then also just with the work hazards from Stuart Roy have to go out and take care of their scope and make water to do that.
Can you give us some direction, some examples of what the district would allow you to display on your sign?
So probably things such as vote like vote today, this time, just public service announcements that are general to the public, but nothing that we can advertise anything for Stuart Roy or for anyone else.
Okay.
So I would guess it's not the only that would be built. So I'm very much in support of this.
Lone Peak does allow for, they actually assist us with some of our recreation programs if it affects their students.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions on this item? No, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'd like to move that we approve ordinance 6-19-2018A. Amending Title 10, Chapter 5 of the City Code of the City of Sierra Hills, allowing for digital signage in the public facility zone.
All right, I have a motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. And this is an ordinance, so we do need a roll call vote. Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. You guys can move forward.
All right, good.
We'll move on to item number 15, which is a review action on final plan approval for the Bordell subdivision. Mr. Givens, please.
So, you've been brave enough to drive down Canyon Road this evening to drive past Mr. Bordell's house. This is Canyon Road. This would be north heading this direction. Currently, this is one lot. This is Fox Hill Drive heading up to Canyon Heights. What Mr. Bordell is proposing, and the Planning Commission has made their final recommendation, is to subdivide his one parcel into two parcels. There's an existing building right here that would then be retrofitted to meet current building code standards. We've got approval from county for multiple garage or the multiple driveway cutouts, and there will be a sidewalk installed along the frontage of this property. Right now, it's going through its final engineering for Bowling and Collins, and so we would appreciate that any approval be subject to compliance with the final engineering review. With that being said, it's a fairly straightforward subdivision. Any questions that I can address this way?
Can you remind me what that secondary structure is being currently being used as?
It's just a
two-story storage.
Dry storage, that's right. So there would have to be the building plan submitted and reviewed and make sure that it complies with building code. And then I don't believe it has a garage right now, so where the garage kind of terminates right here, they're going to do an additional garage built on, so it complies with parking, so there'd be two off-street covered parking spots.
Any other questions for the council? If not, I will take a motion.
I will make a motion that we approve the final subdivision proposal for the Wardell subdivision subject to final engineering review.
And a motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. of item number 16, which is a review action on the ordinance amendment to item 10, chapter 3, regarding the creation of a PD1 prime development zone and to amend the official zone map to reflect creation of the zone. Mr. Goodwin is presenting, and Mr. Goodwin, if you could start off with a little bit of history on this item.
Yeah, I'm happy to. This has been an ongoing issue for the city for the last 6 years. In May of 2012, the city was approached for a project which was commonly referred to as Blue Line or Rosegate. Rosegate is probably the more appropriate name for it, but it was a congregate care facility that initially was a five-story congregate care facility. Ultimately, in 2015, I believe it was November of 2015, the city council gave approval, preliminary approval for the congregate care facility, but it was parsed down from 291 units to 165 units, and there was only 14 conditions that the council placed on that development that the developer then challenged at the state through the state property rights office. Through that process, the state property rights ombudsman issued an advisory opinion. You can find it online at the state property rights ombudsman's website. It's advisory opinion 192, I believe. And you can see that a lot of the conditions that the city placed on it, if challenged, would more than likely have been overturned had they gotten the petition. So in an effort to work with the city, the developer changed their proposal from the 291-unit primary care facility to be what we have before us today, which is the Cedar Canyon plat. This plat sits on 11 and a half acres. It's commonly known as the Smart Piece, Smart Property. This road right here is Cedar Hills Drive. This is 4600 West. And right now, currently resides in the SC1, the shopping center zone. It is zone commercial. As part of the settlement agreement between the two parties, between the city and Cedar Hills Farmland LLC, which is the name I'm going to be using for the developers of this property, the city will agree to consider a rezoning of the property, to amend the zoning map, and then to consider a subdivision that would then go there as part of the approval process. So what we have first is not the approval of the subdivision, but the approval of the city code that would guide the development of the subdivision. And as stated in the work session, the language that is being presented tonight, which will be found in 10.4c of the city's code, would create the planned development of one zone. It is subject, it's covered, that's already restricted from the code, so there's no confusion. It says the planned development zone covers a portion of the city that is primarily intended for high-density single-family residential development within a homeowners association. Uses in the zone include a combination of single-family dwellings, parks, playgrounds, and other facilities typically located within a residential neighborhood and intended to serve the residents thereof. The zone is characterized by high-density housing, typically between 6 and 8 units per acre, which is the density that you can find here. The permitted uses are, we're calling out this commercial office space, which is left up in the northwest corner. This would be the only place that commercial would be in. Single-family homes, HOAs, HOA-maintained parks and grounds, gardens, and then for conditional uses, we're talking about accessory apartments later tonight, but accessory apartments would not be allowed in this zone as it's already a very high density zone. So what you would have is similar to what you would find in some of the other residential zones, which would be fences, walls, hedges, home occupations, so somebody could run a business out of their home, subject to that code, small animal units, which is dogs, cats, and water, sewer, utility, transmissions, lights. In reference to a comment about the utilities, the city is working with the engineer to ensure that there is proper capacity in the water sewer lines to deliver services to this property. We felt during the time of the previous proposal that during the congregate care facility that we could provide services to the 291 unit building. That was never the issue. We certainly could provide services to 80 homes in lieu of that building. the area width requirements, the access requirements, the location requirements, they're called out in the settlement agreement. And as discussed in the work session, this is a dense zone, smaller homes that are going to be situated closer to one another. The location requirements currently state that interior lots, all dwellings by the main buildings should be set back not less than 5 feet from any side lot line. Settlement agreement calls out 10 feet combined, and as discussed in the work session, we feel that this could be manipulated one side or another to create a side yard effect, that it shall not be less than 3 feet, but the combined total would be 10 feet. So you could have 3 feet on one side and 7 feet on the other side. To kind of give some variation throughout the neighborhood, I think that would be nice. And then the only portion of this code that is not found in other zones is 10-4C9, which specifically references the development agreement. The reason that this is done is that there's the creation of this zone is between the city and Cedar Hills Farmland LLC. This isn't a zone that other people can be privy to. It's guided by a settlement agreement, guided by a development agreement, guided by a CCR that will be adopted next month. So another developer could propose a planned development zone, but it wouldn't be planned development one zone. They'd have to come through and propose a planned development two zone, and then they'd have to work with the city on the provisions governing that zone. This is a very common zoning tool that cities are using. It's found throughout the Utah. We're not going to do this. So with that discussion on the code, this is a three-pronged process, if you will. Tonight we're going to create this. So we're talking about creating the zone, we're talking about rezoning and amending the zoning map, and then we'll be talking about the subdivision itself. So with that being said, what questions can I field about the code that's being presented?
I do want to add that one of the points made in the settlement agreement as well is that the maximum density in this zone will be 80. So there couldn't be a time in the future where a future owner would want to kind of take down the commercial building and add more homes. There could be no more than 80 homes in this zone.
Correct. One other thing of note is that that commercial piece there is still subject to the same provisions found in 10.6a, which guides the development of the commercial zone. So we have to have the same look and feel as all the other commercial buildings in the city. We're not approving a use today or a building, just the fact that there's a parcel there that is commercial. When that does get developed, it will come before the city council for conceptual, preliminary, and final approval. So you're not approving a building there, just the fact that it is identified on the parcel on the plat map.
Council, any questions about the creation of the PE1 zone?
We've asked a lot of questions in the past, so. All right, then I will take a motion.
Just the changes that are just applicable. One change that Mr. Griffin mentioned was clarifying that on the site setback for an office from 3 feet on the site about by a whole time.
Okay. I'll go ahead.
The other one wasn't an ordinance.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 6-19-2018B, amending the official zoning map to the city of Cedar Hills to reflect the zoning of the. This is rezoning the. Creation, yeah, so I got to give them. For creating this code. So I move that we approve ordinance 6-19-2018B, amending Cedar Hills City Code to reflect the creation of the Land Development PE1 Zone and amend the official zone map to reflect the creation of the PE1 Zone, subject to the changes of the 3 foot minimum setback on one side and 7 feet on the other to accomplish this end code. Range between some degree.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second? I'll second that. Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. We do have a roll call vote. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes. We'll move on to item number 17, review action on ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter It's not on my agenda here. The rezoning of certain portions of the area currently in the SD1 commercial zone to the P1 plan development zone and amend the official zone map to reflect these zone changes.
So what you have on screen for you is the current zoning map. I just want to point out that currently the property in question is right here. This is for new zoning map, which I believe is in the packet, will then identify that this is the plan development one zone. So the legend would create a new zone that's identified on the legend and then reflect any of these changes on the map itself. So code requires the city to adopt a new map upon creation of a zone and any new zone. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you, Mr.
Goodman.
Any questions? Not, I'll take a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve ordinance 619201C, amending the official zoning map of the city of Cedarville to reflect the rezoning of a portion of the shopping center SC1 zone to the plan to development B1 zone and amend the official zone map to reflect those zone changes.
A motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
The motion passes. We'll move on to item number 18, which is a review action of preliminary approval for the city of Kansas subdivision. Mr. Goodman is presenting.
Okay. So, this is the final step for you tonight on this zone. As mentioned before, the Cedar Canyon subdivision is an 80-lot subdivision with lots around 4,500 square feet. So they're smaller lots with a commercial component in the northwest side. Cedar Canyon subdivision is per the terms outlined in the settlement agreement has been reached for the city of Cedar Hills, Cedar Hills Farmland LLC. And the subdivision does consist of these single-family units. The Planning Commission reviewed these preliminary plans as part of their May 22nd agenda item, and they made recommendations to the City Council. As part of that meeting, I went through a laundry list of engineering changes that needed to be reflected on those plans. And since those red lights were provided to me then in late May, they were provided to the developers. After that meeting, they've been incorporated to a very large degree by the developers. So I don't have a large list of red lines to go through with you tonight, which is nice. But some of the concerns that we have revolve around the location of certain public utility easements through this commercial piece. We had questions on the location and the number of fire hydrants in the subdivision. We wanted to make sure that these turn radiuses were of a nature that fire engines could get around them. And then we had some concerns about this dead-end street that we wanted it to be a public safety access as well. And on each of these issues, the developer has complied and has made those changes as needed. One other issue was, the stormwater retention for this property will happen to the south. There will be a retention basin here, and as discussed in the work session, we will be working as a staff to coordinate between Cedar Canyon development and the city's 9 acres development down here, this commercial piece that will be coming before you in the next month or two. That those two merge together in a manner that is seamless. We want those two projects to tie in nicely as kind of going through the approval process in tandem. So, with that being said, I know that there's a lot to digest here. But I do appreciate the fact that the developers have been very responsive to the city's requests and concerns and the engineering red lines and the public safety red lines. They've made those changes and incorporated them into those plans. So, and I anticipate that would be the case going forward as well.
currently we're waiting for the next engineering review to take place. As mentioned, we anticipate that we'll see those deadlines from our city engineers at Walnut Commons in the next 2 days, at which point they'll be provided to developers, and those red lines will be incorporated into the final set that they're going to the Planning Commission on June 10th. Excuse me, July 10th, thank you. So with that, what questions can I answer?
It's another one we've talked a lot about. Yes. I'm not sure we have any questions at this point. Is anything? I'll take a motion.
I move that we approve preliminary plans for the Cedar Canyon subdivision located approximately 4600 West Williams Drive, newly created PD1 zone, subject to engineering.
A motion made by Councilmember Miller, is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Bayard, sorry. Ms. Hawkins, you have a long agenda tonight. You are welcome to stay. If you'd like to talk with us afterwards, I can show you some drawings. Otherwise, if you would like to discuss that further, if you wouldn't mind leaving your phone number or email with anyone at that table, then I'm happy to call you and give you some more information.
Great.
Let's move on to item number 19, which is a review action on orders amending Title 10, Chapter 5-32, related to accessory apartments. Who is presenting?
I'm just going to quickly mention Jim Kay, who has taken on a lot of the planning duties in the city, as well as the code enforcement, has worked on this proposal as we address certain needs within the city. As mentioned in the work session, it's important because it's required by the city, by the state, that the city have in their general plan affordable housing element, which we currently do not. And as mentioned before, MAG, Mountland Association of Governments, is working with the city on that plan. And part of that plan, a key element, in my view, and I've always felt this way, is that the city, in order to fully flesh out that general plan requirement, we have to have a better understanding of what our accessory apartment needs are, what the reality we have in the city as far as accessory apartments is. But not only that, we're not blind to the fact that the city has a number of accessory apartments found throughout the city. And what we want to do is create a process whereby residents aren't blindsided and they're shocked when they ask for the requirements. We want them to be able to understand the zoning requirements, the building requirements, and any associated fees, and be able to seamlessly go through that process. And I feel like Jenny's done a marvelous job of beginning that process so that we can help those residents. So I'm going to turn it over to Jenny.
And Jenny and Chandler, I'm just going to ask, so we do have residents who are here tonight about this item, if you could maybe just walk through what these red line numbers are. If you would like to review this while she's going through it, or red lines.
Thank you, Chandler. So as we stated, we've gone through and we went through to try to review our current accessory apartment. In our current one, what was provided before, it basically stated that occupancy should be limited to 2 persons per bedroom with a maximum of 4 people. Residents provide off-street parking for all occupants in the main building. That was our previous rule. So with that, we went through and we revised to that. So when the residents comes in, they know exactly what they are up against and what they have to face. Hopefully, we make this easier for people to legal accessory. That's our main goal, is for legal accessory. And we want to make that as easy as possible. Without going through and changing any building codes or whatnot in this. Is there any questions that we have?
Do you want to just maybe briefly touch on some of the additions that have been made? We talked a little bit during the work session about the registration fees, and when those would be assessed.
Okay, the registration fees haven't been assessed at this time. That is up to discussion to do that, but they will be minimal, and they will be an annual type of fee.
We're probably going to do it one time.
Well, one time.
Probably one time, and it'll change. It'll be required as the ownership changes.
So they sell their house.
So just because I think the issue there is that there's not an administrative role every year. And so once that's done and established, unless the ownership changes of the main dwelling, I don't know that there's a need to redo that every year. So.
But on hand over there is a conditional use permit that does run the building.
And that conditional use is approved by the building official and zoning administrator, correct?
Correct.
We had some discussion items in the working session on this where we had a question about how you deal with something that might be owned by a trust and only it's owned by a trust. So it's not, it doesn't need to be carrying tax assessment for all, but the trust would be the non-bid owner. So clarifying how that would be nice. And then also under the owner occupied section, it talks about it looks like one of the exemptions is whether this one the owner is placed in a hospital, nursing home, or assisted living, or other similar facility. Do you want to put some clarification timetable around that, maybe, because we want to make sure that the family member is in the home if that situation did arise to allow that to continue. Otherwise, I'm sure that we still there's no, just a little clarification on what that would be. That would be nice to have.
And council, we don't have to approve this today. We can table it to the next meeting to give Ms. Kay and Mr. Goodwin a chance to update these changes if that's something that you would like to see.
Okay, now, like I said, when I come in, Jeff just kind of made me a little bit aware about the trust issue there.
He just made us aware about it too,
So I will have to go back through this, and this might be something that our attorneys would have to address to make sure that we have this correct.
For the best thing is that we can clarify some of those pieces, or make it a lot easier for the situation to have. And I think that's the goal. Okay. The point is, it's excellent. We should just one or two pieces of clarify.
Additional, did we bring up the parking?
Oh, go ahead.
On parking on L, the first line says parking in the street by tenants of an accessory apartment is prohibited. What we talked about is prohibiting tenants parking on the street for longer than 48 hours, which would be considered consistent with the city code. So just adding that clarification. I have an accessory apartment. I look through this and I think it's appropriate. It's not drastically changing the expectations that I had.
Does the bottom of it where it says tenant shall comply with all parking regulations? So that would refer back to that type 5. So you strike that first sentence.
I was going to say I'd strike the first sentence then rather than amending it.
Is there any other changes that council would like to incorporate in? Motion made by Councilor Ellsworth to table this in a second.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We will move on to item number 20, which is a review action on a resolution adopting fiscal year 2018 budget amendments. Mr. Lowe is presenting.
Thank you.
Mr. Goodwin, while he is doing that, I remember one of the questions that was brought up during the public hearing was on the number of unrelated people that can live in a home. Can you just clarify that?
It's four. And this number is important, and I'll extrapolate on it a little bit, in that it's the way that we treat group living arrangements, is that the city has to be consistent, whether it's a frat house, a sorority, recovery home, we treat them all as group living arrangements, and currently our city code limits them to four unrelated individuals. Any questions?
I do have a question though.
Sure.
So let's say there's a family,
yeah,
and they have five students.
Five students?
Like,
no,
unrelated students. That's breaking the code. So the family, they have a bunch of bedrooms and.
You have to look at it by case by case basis. For example, we have a home in Cedar Hills that is rented out, the homeowner lives there, and rents it out to students, and wants to rent it out to 8 students, including himself, so 9 individuals. We've got friends that know you can only have 4 related individuals here. So if 2 of them are sisters, then that changes things. So that's why I said you have to look at it on a case by case basis.
Well, and sorry, you may already have heard this, but we have to be careful that we can't treat all group living arrangements the same. So if we have somebody who wants to put in a drug rehabilitation facility, we have to treat it the same as we would any other group living arrangement.
Okay.
Okay. Something that has nothing to do with this item. It's just something to look at. So, budget amendments. We have a couple of items because of the previous line items we were discussing that required legal services, engineering services to review these plans. So, we needed to increase our expenses for legal and engineering just in case to make sure that our general fund was okay. And we offset those with sales tax in the general fund. I believe the sales tax number will be much larger than 40,000, but I just set aside that amount. That would offset the expense. Also, every year we have to be careful not to have too much fund balance in our general fund, and so I'm also recommending transferring 200,000 more to the capital projects fund. We already transferred 400,000 earlier this year. And then, more expenses in revenues and expenses in the recreation area. And we chose to fund the arts theater program earlier than first anticipated. So, to make up for those expenses, there's adjustments for that. We also had some more season pass trades. When they were working on Tanger Road, Jeff asked them to save the grinded up pavement so that we can use it to enhance some of our parking areas in the area of the country that we're all passing. Is there any questions you guys have on these amendments?
Quick question. So on the 6,000 for arts, does that mean it's been pulled out of the 2019 budget?
No.
So
it's just they asked for it to be moved out this year, but it hasn't been moved out of next year.
So that the full amount that we'd be losing is still going to be there. We can talk about the next one.
Yeah. just when they talked to us originally, we thought it was for next year, and we were talking about this year.
Which was clear.
Okay. Council, any questions or comments on this item? Not, I will take a resolution. I will take a motion for the resolution.
I will make a motion that we adopt resolution 6-19-2018A. A resolution adopting the amended 2017-2018 fiscal year budget for the City of Cedar Hills, Utah.
I have a motion to make Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Ellsworth. We need a roll call vote. Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
The motion passes. Moving on to item number 21, a new action for resolution adopting the fiscal year 2019 budget from July 1st, 2018 to June 30th, 2019. Mr. Lowe.
Back in February, we made some priorities for the sense of budget here. Included Harbor Park and improving our understanding of the infrastructure and also improving our visibility of our community services and planning that we've addressed tonight, the housing developments and public safety. So here are the major expenses. Just a quick review so you're like, Charlotte, I don't remember this. So just in case, as it was a couple months ago, we're talking about this. Originally we talked about transferring $400,000 next year, but because we just passed an amendment to transfer $200,000, or I mean, reduce that down to $200,000, if that makes sense. So the total amount is the same over this year and next year. The new Class C roads fund, we have a situation where, in this current year, where the project, we're doing some maintenance projects, and they start the last week of June and they go into July, and this will make it much easier for Jeff Orange because he can just say, okay, I know it's all in my fund and I have the money, it doesn't matter what year it lands. And before he would be stressing out, I gotta get this done by June 30th, and alright, I don't have the money, and this will make it much easier for Jeff. And we can just split the contract or whatever the best time is and combine the 2 years if we need to. Also, there's in the Class C roads fund, there's money for an ADA grant. Public safety was our largest increase in the general fund, approximately $138,000. Including $30,000 for fire capital improvement requests. We added our part-time person to become full-time, our 30 hours. And then the staff received a 3.5% on average merit increase. Health insurance increased a little bit more than only this last year. We are in a pool, and I guess we utilized it more than average this year. Usually we were below average, but so that increased. And then the $6,000 that you were asking about earlier, that is still in the budget. And then we also...
Sorry, can you tell me, where is that in the budget?
Well, it's not, it's titled as other things, other events.
Oh.
I'm trying to do that. It's under community services, but it's other events.
Is it in the general fund?
1065.
General fund is the last expense department.
Ah.
It's cultural, 1065-601.
Cultural events.
Cultural events.
It's under the Cassell statements. And then one of the things we started this year and continuing into next year is we're being more involved with the certified arborist in our city. And it's helped us be more responsive to bugs and pruning and different things. So I think this would be a good change. I think it'll take some time, but I think our trees will benefit. And some dead trees to do a job with this.
I'm actually going to just get a little plug there. I don't know if I ever shared with the council that we found out that every tree on Spear Hill Drive, what are those bugs called?
Oh, aphids?
They were giant aphids.
And the entire tree were covered, and
we can send you
disgusting.
Fantastic photos.
There's like an inch and a half deep at the base of every tree.
So the arborist came out, and he was able to spray and save those trees, because that would have been expensive to replace every single one of those trees on Spirit Drive.
By Walmart?
Single tree. Up at from Canyon Road down to North County Road.
We had several citizens call in that day that they noticed all these bugs.
There's what, 30 something trees on that today?
No,
I think it's like 80.
Oh, 80 trees. So anyway, the fee that we're paying him is well worth it, and then replacing all those trees that would have been much more expensive.
Yes. They're very responsive and responding very quickly. We have every other year we don't have to pay for elections in the next year's numbers. And we had some turnover in our public works. So one of the things, just like when people ask, how the revenues are doing, most of our revenue comes from our population, and that's in the sales tax form. And so this gives you an idea of how other cities are going in our area. Very close. But keep revising it because we were behind Alpine and now we're ahead again. So they revised last year. This is the current year. Despite having very little population growth, we're still showing a great year compared to other years in sales tax. Through the economy and inflation. Naturally, corn goods are all getting more expensive, so everyone's paying more for them, and the numbers are coming up. Our program revenues are pretty similar to last year at this time, and they're very solid, so that's good. Building revenues are down a little bit. We've had about the same amount of housing permits, but we haven't had any for a few months. That could probably change with the school development, but now we have, I think the solar activity was dropped.
We're making more than a building.
So new growth and property tax, that's your other key revenue in your general fund. Our increase for the current year was $7,000, the next lowest in Northern Utah County was $47,000. So, just gives you an idea of some of the challenges we have when we don't have new housing. So, one of the new things that happened, which I'm sure you're all aware of, is our recycling costs gone up because there's no market for recycling anymore. We're trying to back in out of that market now. So that means waste management needed to pass on the costs to us. And, so that required some cost increases to recycling. Mostly our garbage costs are not changing by more than 7 cents, but this recycling changed quite a bit. rate revenue changes this year is 56,000 in sales tax, we got 7,000 in property tax. And then we have some changes in our fees to offset the increase in public safety and our recycling costs. In the golf and golf debt service, the subsidies especially the same. The plan is to replace two mowers and golf had a pretty solid May, and Greg says they're killing it in June. So it looks good so far. Power projects highlights. With the sale of the land, our anticipated fund balance is around 3.1. And we transfer it to 200,000. But the Harvey Boulevard widening is part of this Harvey Park project. So the road will get widened, and that project will be done along with the first phase of Harvey Park. Now, we were hoping to get an outdoor recreation grant, but they said we were one vote away from the committee, and we asked for things that were in their examples, but they said they'd never funded equipment before, playground equipment before, so I don't know, they're just waiting for where you're going. So, it was a learning process. We didn't learn about the grant until the last second. We tried it. We'll see if it's worth it to try again for something else. There's also, so here's our first explaining with the hard tax. And besides the hard funding, of course, to focus on our existing parks and make it nicer. So the first part, I want to focus on this heritage park. And then some other things. The Parks Master Plan will get finalized after all the big documents and all the plans for Harvey Park are done, because part of the Park Master Plan will contain the Harvey's final schematic design. So they don't want to have an outdated park master plan that has a little design in it, so we'll wait until that is completely designed, and then we can present a comprehensive master plan.
Cheryl, can you remind me, does the master plan discuss dealing with the water issue of the trees that you're talking about? I know you talked about it, but I just didn't remember how it works.
So they are going to do schematic designs for our heritage park that more like a replacement plan eventually, and for the state park that will have some schematic design to add some trees. But we're kind of dealing with that with the arborist, just trying to have him watch the health of them and want to do more of that. That's how we're doing with it so far, is with the harvest for the next 3 years, pruning all the trees there, which should improve their health, and it'll also let us know if anyone can find a fertilization or whatever. But they are having some trees that are kind of pruned, not possible. So we just have to need to replace them. Place and try to keep them as nice as long as possible. But so, just thought I'd let you see in the capital projects plan some of the concepts that they've been working on lately and updated The color schemes to be more fresh and modern. And so just these, I don't know if the look of this is, as far as the splash kind of goes, sometimes when you look at these, they're cartoons and they throw a ton of people on there and they throw fake water on there and you don't really know what it's going to look like when it's real, not a cartoon. But there's two different directions. We had the original company when we had that gave us several concepts. It seemed like the space design was the most interesting one. And then this other company was proposing a tree design. I'm not sure how that plastic trees with sprinklers on top, how it will look in real life, but it's kind of another angle, a nature type of look. And so if there's any feedback I can give the splash pad designers on either design, do you like the direction we're going?
Oh, there are
colors.
Just stand right there.
I do like the colors. I think they're both of them are bright
and a variety of different.
When we had the scouts here, they overwhelmingly chose the space theme, and I think most kids would lean that way.
I agree that the kids would, to me, this is what they would choose, and then maybe some other people that wouldn't actually use it, like the design. So if Insight Design is wondering if they want to move ahead with their bid documents, so I'm just trying to take.
This is the one that you got best feedback on.
So water and sewer, there's no surprises there. The main things are that there's bone and column studies. We've had increases and it's helped us avoid new data. We have a couple of big projects. It's going to help the Harvey Parks storm drain site work. And we also have a cotton well that needs some work. It is on right now, but it's been struggling for the last couple years. So, water pool highlights, not much going on. A couple of vehicles being replaced. And so the summary is, we keep the same property tax rate that's certified. So we'd only capture new growth. The rates would go up, the fees would go up for those items that have gone up significantly, public safety and recycling. And we're funding phase one of Harvey Park, High Total Insight Design. Give us a plan for $3.2 million based on half of what we see them willing, and then tell us what we can get for a little bit more if you decide to go more or less. So you guys can decide whether we're based on. We'll tell us about 3.2 million, we'll give us about this much. You guys can decide if that's good or if you want to go a little more. Bone cons, utility rate. We're disappointing that. And then the hot wood well. Those are the main items. Are there any questions on the budget? I want you to know it's a living document, so next month if we need an adjustment, we can't. Wait a second, I forgot about this. There is things that we can do. We can't change the revenues much. We can change fees, but we can't change property tax. But everything else can be changed. So we monitor it all year, and we'll let you know from staff if there's any concerns we have, but if you have something, you can bring it up here. So.
Okay.
Any questions from the council on the budget?
I will make a motion that we approve resolution number 6-19-2018-B, a resolution adopting the 2018-2019 fiscal year budget for the city of Cedar Hills, Utah.
Thank you. A motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Motion passes. We'll move on to item number 22. A review action on a resolution certifying the calculated 2018-2019 real and personal property tax levy.
Sorry, before I go there, I just want to get a little bit of feedback on the structures as a kind of contemporary. Can you
see it? We need Moses again. Hold your arms up.
They need it when they're putting the bid documents together. So, on the pavilions, there's five pavilions that are just size of. I don't know if you can see, but the bottom line in the middle, there's kind of a roof structure like this, and it's kind of flat, funky, so you either love it or maybe you don't, but it's kind of fun. And then there's a lot of wood accents that it's not real wood, it's composite, so there's not a lot of maintenance. And we just saw this afternoon, and so that's where I want to let you see it so you're not in the dark. I didn't know what they were going to show us. This is Insight Designs recommendations. So on the roundabout, this is showing the roundabout, so there's three flags in the front. This is from looking from the south side, and you would see this pavilion with three flags. And there's a ceiling wall that goes over. See these little concrete things? There's a ceiling wall. You have a composite that goes around, and there'll be four access points. So that's kind of what they have right now.
Can we see those other options for the pavilion?
So they're all the same.
Oh, wasn't there a flat roof one? Yeah. I don't care for that too much.
So what there was.
I got the top left cranks.
What is
we just going to do this afternoon.
Oh, okay, you're the best.
Okay. There
wow.
You go.
There we go.
Wow.
Don't fall. Did you mess him up? He does not expect it.
Well, that's the same million. Okay. Oh, it's a side view. I get it.
This is the restroom concession area. So you can see
safe wood access are free.
Yeah. And the concrete, it has concrete, so low maintenance. So that's the angle and
very particular for the setback.
So we're trying to be unique and beautiful that we might not be used to it.
And low maintenance. One thing we're concerned about is the actual maintenance on these buildings, too.
Question for you, Cheryl, and maybe you guys can talk about this in insight. The only thing that I really worry about is if I'm envisioning this, there's the main drive down to that, and then you go, there's traffic to go around it. So the only thing that I worry about is, when you worry about kids constantly running across the street.
So before the roundabout, we have removable bollards that we put in as a bridge between the two fields. So that they can actually cross anywhere in the round area, or they can cross across this walkway where the bollards are anytime safely. That's how we try to address it. And then We can remove those haulers, like when there's food truck rallies and stuff, but most of the time we leave those in.
So people won't be driving through the circle?
Correct.
And so these would be bronze colored, but same wood, composite wood type accents.
I want to know what the men think about that style. Jimmy and I are more traditional, but maybe you guys have more.
I love it.
You love it?
Yeah. Well, Eric, we liked it in our meeting today, yeah. But I know I have a coworker that did. But it's like, I don't like the traditional styles.
Well, we are going, if we're going with the space theme, the slash pad, maybe we need to go in one more direction.
So,
I'm sure we could have like
the so then if you just want the flat side, I mean, we could do this one side, it could still be pretty cool just to slant. But the sign, I like the sign with just one slant, but I'm okay with either one. So they show that too. And then for the lamps around the parking lot, they really like, it's kind of cool, it's an LED on the bottom there. So this is going to be very, very, different than what you've seen at other parks, but it's going to be very cool. And we can do like the nutrition stuff at the carriage. Just mix it up, you know. So,
the next two should go really fast.
So there's one for everyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so when we did the initial thing in October and we sent it to them,
I don't agree
with the thing asked for in this roundabout, there used to be a maintenance fence thing. And they're like, we want there to be a centerpiece. Changed it out, it cost us a couple hundred thousand more. And we put this pavilion in. And the other thing asked for was more parking, and so we put in slanted parking. But I think also it's really complicated to get them involved in every little step, but I think the landscaping we can get them involved again and ask them about trees and bushes and stuff, but I'm not sure. I don't know how involved you want them to be because if I need a response that day, it's just going to be void.
Yeah. No, my main concern is I know that they were involved with the vehicle park anyway. I always worry anytime that we create a volunteer committee and ask them to do something and then don't allow them to do it. I know that for some of that committee, you're going to have some heartburn if they feel like I volunteer my time and yet.
Yeah, so we need to define what really they're responsible for, I guess.
Ryan,
I mean, it's, you're going to have seven different opinions, so I'm not sure. Like, what we did when we got the pictures, we took feedback from all the residents, and they, you know, you put it on Facebook, and we tried to balance based on everybody's opinion in the city, and so we just give a couple people on the committee. Like when we did Bay Hill, it really was two people. It was David Baganji and Boyd.
Right.
And that was it. So you're giving a lot of power. We're trying to listen to everyone.
Right.
So
maybe,
there's a balance.
Maybe at your next meeting, you can just let them know what's happening. I just don't want them to feel like
right.
They have no idea what's going on and they have no idea.
Right. And so I've tried to let Boyd know, yes, we had a partner, yes, we changed the roundabout for you. But you know, if someone wants something else, it's like, well, we have other residents that want more tennis courts. We have other residents that want this.
And we should be going based on the survey.
So that's the hard part. It's 100% no one's going to like, but most people should like. That's
well, Denise and I aren't a third group, so not fair.
So, certified property tax rate. Are there any questions about this? It's just based on, they just say, this is the rate that will give you the exact same amount of money that you got last year, plus new growth. And I know Mike Geddes last time was like, why aren't we getting more money? Well, we get maybe $400 from the average resident. So it takes, they look at 7,000. That's a lot of houses for 7,000 to get 7,000. Well, that's what we're getting, we're getting about $400 for energy. So we're getting a little more maybe from some of the commercial going on. So when the commercial gets developed and we get these 80 houses, that will be a bigger amount. But most of the time, you know, we're getting like 6 houses a year, 7 houses.
Any questions on property taxes? If not, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 619-208-C.
Yes.
See, a resolution saying the total property tax levy assessed on real and personal property for general rental purposes will be 2018-2019 tax year for the city of Superior.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Before you go to 23, just real quick.
On the park. I saw the pavilion area. There were 3 flagpoles. And I just feel like we have several flagpoles in the city that have no flags on them for a variety of reasons. Do we just want to narrow down to one? Realistically, that's pretty much
you,
what we can
change that.
You may know this now. The city's building has a flagpole with a flag on it.
Okay, but we still have 3 here that only...
That's because we've used these ones. It's just last week, one of the... You've only used one?
Yeah,
okay.
We don't have to. I would just cut out that expense.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but the Cedars HOA asked me for this time to have an American flag and many others, so I know we put up here, and now I said 20. So,
okay.
Sorry. We'll put a statue of the bear or something. I'm just
no. No.
Well, that will be the next converse. Okay, we're going to move on to item number 23, which is a review of action on the resolution adding amending or deleting certain fees to the official fees, bonds, and fine schedule of the city of Cedar Hills. Mr. Goodwin. Oh, and while you're getting that loaded up, Mr. Lowe, we just want to thank you. I know that the budget takes a lot of time and effort putting that together for months. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, you're watching.
We also need to thank each department head because the reason that we have money transferred to capital projects fund is that they're very cognizant of the budgets that are given to them, and they are very responsible with that. They understand that this is public funds, and they utilize it to its fullest extent. So I want to thank each one of them for the diligent work that they do.
Absolutely. And I forgot to mention during the golf course discussion, I was going to say that I was at the tournament in the morning, and it was a sold out tournament, and I heard just positive feedback from all the golfers on how beautiful the course was. So.
So every as part of the budget approval process, we try to update our fee schedule to reflect the changes that are made, and these changes will tie into the Bowen and Hall study that was done in 2012 and redone in 2015, I believe. It shows the necessary public infrastructure projects that we need to do year over year in order to keep up and be able to deliver these services to the public. On top of that, you see that, or Cheryl mentioned that the rates for recycling are changing. That's not due to waste management, that's due to a market-wide crash since we went out for RPO waste services. So it really wouldn't matter if we went out, if we decided to ACE or Republic, we'd be evaluating our recycling fees either way. So in order to have that public service be funded by the people that are using the service, we have to raise those rates. And then finally, the paramedic fee, you see the budget change for the public safety fire district, what that increase was. In order to fund that, because that's, I think it was $108,000, that was the majority of the new expected revenue from the general fund. So we need to find ways to be able to fund that public safety. We're going to be talking a lot about public safety in the coming months. We did receive those RFPs. Those have been sent out to you. I hope you have had a chance to at least go through them on a high level. We anticipate staff will be completing on those on July 17th. So if you need to have questions on that, please let me know. But do you have any questions on the fee schedule?
Not, I'll take a motion.
for resolution D.
D?
Yes.
I move that we approve resolution under 6-19-2018 D, resolution adding amending, or do we insert fees to the official fees, bonds, and fine schedule of the CDC.
A motion by Councilmember Miller, is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Anderson.
Did you go over the fees again? You said paramedic?
There's changes in the utility rates for the water, sewer, storm drain. The biggest rate changes are for recycling and paramedic fees.
Any other discussion? All right, Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson. Aye. Motion passes. We'll move on to our final item, number 24, review action on a resolution making assignments to members of the city council and staff as certain boards, committees, and entities. Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, so this resolution makes a couple assignment changes and updates one. Where Councilmember Bailey is no longer able to serve on the dispatch board. Councilmember Anderson is volunteer, and the resolution would place her on the dispatch board. As well as I found out that my term on the Devonota Special Service District Board expired this last year, so I'm going to be out as a four-year term. So the resolution addresses both of those issues. District Board.
Any questions? Motion.
I'll make the motion that we approve resolution 6-19-20. 1-8-E. Resolution assigning members of the city council, staff, and residents in the city of Cedarville to be taught to serve boards and committees.
A motion by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes. I think that we made history. 24 items in an hour and 35 minutes. So I will take a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Seconded. So made by Councilmember Bailey, seconded by Councilmember Anderson, all in favor.
Aye.
Opposed? We are opposed.
I have people before me in the panel. Oh, nobody has faith.